Morning, morning, man.
Now we should be having a total confidence there.
Bitcoin, and then we then have to also have an influence on the transformation of Bitcoin. I think amongst the other things, those are the things that we expect to hear going forward. And without much ado, let us hand over to the Director General. But before that, the item B, we shall be in committee and then consult us and adoption of the report.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity again for us in the department to come and interact with this committee and to provide the committee with details of our planning as we move forward. But before we do that, Chairperson, let me also take this opportunity to really convey our profound gratitude as a department to you and the entire membership of the committee for the support that we've already received from the committee. The committee has always been very supportive of the department, even though you've been very robust in terms of the answers that you've been demanding from us as a department, and rightfully so. And I think the relationship that we as the department have with the committee is very useful. And we've really tried our best to work very closely with the committee and to provide whatever answers that are required by the committee. Chairperson, the manner in which we really propose to go about this presentation for this financial year 2012-2013 is that I would then ask Nomda Mopengu to basically take the committee through the rationale for us as a department. There are critical elements that she will take you through that. And after that, I will then propose that the different DDGs should take through the committee what we intend to do during the course of this financial year. And after that, we shall be at your service to answer any questions or to provide any clarity that this committee may seek. But before we do that, Chairperson, you will recall some time last year, in 2010, after our midterm review in 2010, we came to this committee to seek the committee's permission and support in reviewing our own organizational structure. We've undertaken that exercise, and we've gone through all the processes that are required in government come up with this new structure. But before I indicate the manner in which the new structure looks, as we discussed previously, Chairperson, it is very critical from our own point of view to look at a few very critical statistics there. A month ago, I attended a meeting with the minister in Geneva, the Air Transport Action Group. The Air Transport Action Group is a very exclusive club of very thin executives around the world. In that group, a very small group, I think they invite close to 100 people. In that group, you find the chief executive of Airbus, the chief executive of Boeing, the chief executive of General Electric, the chief executive of Rolls-Royce, who are really making the engine for a lot of aircraft, and other CEOs who are involved in the aviation industry. Now, as it was said before, that aviation is the oxygen that breathes life into tourism. We thought it was crucial to attend that meeting and understand what are the projections of the future trends of industry. Now, if you look at the statistics, and I want to bring the statistics to honorable members, because at the end of the day, it's going to raise the question as to what exactly to try to leverage on some of these opportunities and projections that captains of industry are coming up with. And according to the statistics, they were saying to us that they are estimating that they create about 56.6 million jobs around the world. And that the global economic contribution of aviation is $2.2 trillion. And they are saying that around the world currently, you have about 23,844 commercial aircraft which are in service. And out of this commercial aircraft, the registered airline companies around the world is 1,568. But what we are much more concerned and what we are looking at ourselves is the projection in terms of the number of commercial airlines in the next 20 years. Now, as I said, it's 23,000. The projection is that it's going to double. So you would have essentially 46,000 or 47,000 commercial aircraft that are in service around the world. They are saying that, again, that during the course of 2011, passengers around the world, they flew about 5.1 trillion kilometers. I'm saying this because it gives you the idea in terms of the movement of people around the world, and the question is, what is the percentage that we intend to get? If you get about 5.1 trillion people traveling, kilometers traveling around the world, our question from where we sit is that what is our share of that? And our strategies must be geared to deal with it. They are saying passengers have flown about 41 billion kilometers around the world. You will recall that during the course of this year, we expect to see a landmark of a billion tourists going around the world. Now, Chairperson, if you look at the statistics, and I want to focus on statistics that are basically speaking to commercial airlines, and the potential that it presents in terms of the money that passengers spend, that they speak about people who fly, this other people are going to spend. So the expectation is that this airline will be getting more numbers in the next 20 years. And therefore, our strategies must be geared to leverage on this number, to see what will be our market share of this number. Okay, but on the basis of this, you will recall it, as I indicated, in 2010, we had a discussion with this committee to say we need to look at the organizational structure. Because our organizational structure as a department was based on supply and demand. There were two critical branches, you will recall, one was called tourism development, and the other one was tourism growth. But as we drill into the specific areas of operation of these branches, there was a lot of overlap. But at the same time, there were lots of gaps. We then went to the drawing board as a collective management here, starting from 2010, and we took all our general members into confidence. They all made contributions. We were basically informed by two critical elements. One was that our sphere of operation as a department is both domestic and international. And we said the structure must be aligned to the challenges that we need to leverage tourists domestically and internationally. And therefore we must create predictable structures that will deal with this issue. And that's where we identified there was a lot of gaps in terms of our involvement in the international. And that's why in the new structure that we proposed, and the new structure that is now has been approved by the Treasurer and by DPSA, we've created two branches of international tourism management and the domestic tourism management. Because if you look at our tourism, our domestic tourism numbers, we've been getting less and less people what's happening. I think we've moved from 33 million trips to about 28 million trips. And we all recognize that the basis and the backbone of our tourism industry is our own people. Because the international market sometimes is very vulnerable to a lot of deception. For instance, if tomorrow there's a tsunami attack or tsunami somewhere, as in the last 2 days we've realized, the market starts to get very jittery about what is going to happen if we get affected. If there's any international terrorism activity, we're affected. Oh. Well, was I expected to speak for 2 minutes? So we then realized we needed to strengthen our home base, and one branch that deals with domestic tourism is also to manage the coordination between all tiers of government, because we came to this committee on several occasions and we indicated that once they said across the 3 tiers of government we're spending about 3 billion rand on migrant tourism, and our conclusion was that we could not show anything for the 3 billion. Primarily because there's a lot of duplication. So we thought it would be useful to create a branch that would deal with the coordination and ensure that this coordination happens, even in terms of allocating resources. We all allocate resources in a manner that will leverage our own tourism industry. So that branch will deal with this coordination and work together with the provincial and local government. And we've taken this through the provinces. They've been very happy with the new structure. And we've divided the country into areas, and their chief directors who are going to be responsible for this, develop policies and provide strategic direction to branch to provinces and local governments. That's where the big gap was existing in terms of the coordination. Because the manner in which we were operating, the left hand was not only to the left, to the right hand. We go to a function internationally, you find a lot of provinces, a lot of local governments are there. And in most instances, we shoot each other. Very negative publicity and so on. So in order to do that, we thought coordination and structural coordination would be very useful. And to put a focal point, we'll be dealing with this on a daily basis. And that's why the rationale for the structure in terms of that branch. The international branch, again, we were at pain chair when we were going through this branch, particularly not to try to create a duplication between ourselves and South African tourism. Because the international branch from the department would deal with the strategic issues and policy issues and be able to do this analysis in identifying what it is we need to do. And as I said, when Nongamo takes us through this, you see there are certain legislative and policy frameworks that are there in government that some of these activities are basically linked to that. But we'll be focusing on policy issues. Where we need the question of marketing, every department will instruct SAT to start undertaking some of these activities. We think there is an opportunity, as we have done in the recent past, we said to SAT to keep on looking at this market segmentation in a manner which they've been doing in the past doesn't work, because the world now is very integrated. If we look at the Scandinavians as individual countries, of course we're going to. We're not going to get the 20,000 numbers that SAT look for. But if we look at Scandinavian as a region, which is politically and economically integrated, and look at the numbers of tourists that are coming there, the number of marketing that needs to be done by SAT in that market, it will make a case for us. And that's why we are not in that space, because the manner in which you segment this area is very powerful in my own view. Similarly, if you want to leverage West Africa, we must think about West Africa as a subcontinent and look at the political and the economic integration that part of the continent is going through. It's a similar approach when it comes to East Africa. You need to start looking at this integration. We cannot keep on looking at individual countries when these countries are integrating and they are putting all their resources together, but the manner in which you approach them is still based on individual countries. And that's why we would, this is one thing we've said to SAT, that's why they are going to come up with a hub strategy that addresses this, that they would create a hub, for instance, in Sweden that would cater for the whole of Scandinavia. and be able to do promotion there, we start to see numbers that we project in the NCSF. So this branch is basically look at this analysis, this opportunity. The branch, for instance, chair would look into, in Germany, when they allocate their resources, how many Germans travel? Where do they go? What are policy frameworks between countries where most of Germans are going? And we look at their policy framework and look at ours and see how to best leverage it. Because if we don't do that, because we are in a competition, and we're competing for a commodity tourist, and this commodity tourist is very mobile. It moves a lot, but we want to try to check where they go, what they're traveling, is it? And we want to deal with the question of the policy and strategic issue from our own point of view. And Sarajevo tourism will keep on looking at the marketing aspect. We're not going to be placing people in those countries. We're going to be just doing this analysis here. The information technology now allows us to interact with people. We can sit in this meeting and have a meeting with people in a country X. So what we'll be doing here will be identifying these opportunities. And that will be speaking to our international relations strategy that cabinet is about to finalize and so on. To see how we leverage this, as we go around the country, how are we going to leverage into this opportunity? So that's what really informs us. There are international organizations that exist that we can leverage on. One of them is the one that I just told. Do we really have a strategy? And this is what informs us management. Do we really have a strategy in terms of our engagement with the UNWTO? We pay 1.5 million rand in our dues there. There are resolutions that are taken every year. Do we get our agenda there? Be it developmental agenda, getting resources to assist us, to capacitate us as a department, not only a department leading problems, to ensure that we better leverage the tourism opportunities around the world. It's not only that now, as we are talking, the minister is attending the WCCC in Tokyo. What is our strategy at the WCCC? So this branch will be looking into this issue to ensure that as we participate in this, we can show value for money and leverage and profile the country and get better opportunities, get a lot of people to come to the country and so on. That is essentially the idea in terms of this branch. Now, if you ask me, all this organization has been there in the past, but we never had a focal point and a very strategic approach to this area. Now, in government, you can't work on the basis of goodwill. That today, things to build good, he would do this. That's why the system must be very predictable. But mind you, this is a heritage for future generations to come, and friends and whatever is there. So it must be very predictable. If somebody is employed, there mustn't be anything that falls in between the cracks. Within the department, we have to know what's going on. So we want to do this global analysis and be able to better position ourselves and compete for the figures that I've just indicated are coming up. And be able to do analysis, compare what is that we are getting, what is that other people are getting, and look at what is that they are doing that we are not doing, that's why they are getting good results, and look at the best practice. This is essentially what informed the new organizational structure. And I think as we look into what this branch will be doing, we'll be talking to some of these issues that are just indicated. Chairperson, if you agree, I will then... Before I leave, sorry, we are working very closely with DECO on the international leverage, because we have so many diplomatic missions across, and that is factored in the international relations strategy. But are we better utilizing our diplomatic presence all over the world? It has been always the normal thing, trade and investment. Tourism was never affected. And the chair indicated tourism is part of our new growth path. How are we going to access it? So we're going to be working with international relations, the Department of International Relations. We're going to have a meeting of senior managers. But DECO has already started to take initiatives to educate people on economic diplomacy. And last month, our team attended a regional meeting in Berlin that included senior officials from our missions in Europe to look at economic diplomacy. And I'm very glad that tourism now is starting to feature in that direction, to try to leverage it and see tourism as also part of our economic diplomacy. So we're going to be getting much more leverage using existing infrastructure that we have as government. So that's where we are, that's the rationale, Chairperson. If you agree, I'll ask you to Namdamobe, which is basically take us through some of the issues that one talks to, and then the DDGs will follow one of the other things like this. Thank you very much.
The department's mandate is to create conditions for sustainable growth and development of scholars in South Africa, right from the 2003, as well as the white paper on the development and promotion of scholars in South Africa. The other government policy document from where we draw our mandate, amongst others, is the Industrial Policy Action Plan 2, which identifies tourism as an important driver for domestic consumer spending and foreign exchange earnings. As the chair has said, the youth of PAP identified the tourism sector as one of the key drivers of job creation in South Africa. And also, within the outcomes based approach of government, where coordination amongst all the players is encouraged to improve service delivery, outcomes 4, 7, and 11. Where the Department of Tourism is required to play a role. Outcome 4 is going to defend employment through economic growth, through inclusive economic growth. Outcome 7 relates to vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities and food security for all. And outcome 11 talks to creation of a better South Africa, contributing to a better and safer Africa in a better world. And through the process of the development of the national tourism sector strategy that the DG has referred to, the sector agreed that there are five areas where the sector in its entirety and all other players must focus to grow and develop tourism in South Africa. The one priority relates to policy, strategy, regulation, governance, monitoring, and evaluation, where research, information and knowledge management, policy framework, collaboration, and prioritization of tourism in all spheres of government is the focus of all the players within the tourism sector. The other area is on tourism growth and demand, which is growth and development on the demand side, where marketing and brand management, domestic tourism, regional tourism, and business events tourism must be prioritized to increase arrivals that bring volume and value. And the tourism growth and development on the supply side focuses on relevant capacity building, niche product development and rural tourism, product information, responsible tourism, investment for promotion, and quality assurance. The other area is on people development, where we focus on transformation as a sector, focus on decent work, service excellence, and quality beneficiation. On the enablers of growth, which is a fifth sector priority, we are focusing on tourism awareness among South Africans, safety and security, international and national elites, ground transportation, and domestic elites as a priority that has been identified through the MTSS process, where all the role players in private and public sector have participated. The department then having considered the legal mandate, the policy mandate, the direction that the tourism sector is taking, then went through a process where we identified what policies then we must have as a department to support the mandate as well as the tourism sector. We then decided that we would focus in the medium term on job creation, promoting the different working sector, rural cultural and heritage tourism, domestic tourism, skills development, quality assurance, and expanding tourism infrastructure, entrepreneurship, and growing the market, looking at both domestic and foreign arrivals, amongst other things. As the DG has indicated, we went through a process where we reviewed the functioning of the Department of Tourism. The process started in 2009 when the president proclaimed the Department of Tourism as a standalone department. When we created the Department of Tourism, what it did was really create the department around the existing functions that were in the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. And the focus was also at the time on making sure that there is a sound governance foundation to operationalize the tourism coordination of a standalone department. with the Department of Retreat. Then we went through the public to review what our mandate is, and looking at the election manifesto. Looking at the election manifesto, looking at government medium term strategic framework for this current political term, looking at the 12 government outcomes, the new growth strategy provision for tourism, the national tourism sector strategy where the entire sector agreed on what it must focus on, and then identifying priorities for the Department of Tourism that I have outlined just a little bit prior. And we also went through a process of drafting a tourism deal that would crystallize the mandate of the legal mandate of the Department of Tourism. And the process that was led by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to draft the South Africa's International Relations Strategy, where they also identified certain key mandates for the Department of Tourism. With that in mind, then we went through a process where we reviewed the department's vision, mission, and values. We reviewed the operations and functionality of the department, where, as the DG has indicated earlier, there were areas where we thought there were gaps that could be addressed better by a redesign of a departmental structure. The outcome of our process then, on the vision, mission, and values, we have crafted a new vision that talks to the Department of Tourism as a catalyst for tourism growth and development in South Africa. Our mission is to be a strategic focused department committed to creating a conducive environment for growing and developing tourism through innovation. We want to strategic partnerships and collaboration. We will provide information and knowledge management service, and we will strengthen the institutional capacity that will allow us to achieve the vision of catalyzing growth and development in South Africa, tourism growth and development. Our values, we have split them into two. We have performance values, which talk to innovation, where we will liberate resources and partnerships to optimize delivery to our stakeholders and be responsive to change. We are going to be ethical. We want to work with the principles of good corporate governance. We will work with integrity, transparency, and accountability. And our other value relates to customer focus, where we provide services and solutions in a manner that is efficient and is effective and responsive. On our people value, we will focus on empowerment as a value. We want to create an environment that is conducive for the people, for our people within the development, to our people's growth and development. We will be working with integrity. We will act with integrity and be accountable. We will show respect and we will serve with honesty and trustworthiness. And we want to be a department that recognizes, appreciates, and gives support and is fair to a piece within the organization. We want to be an organization that values its own people and ensures fairness of its system processes, is supportive, recognizes, and rewards performance. Those are our values. And the outcome, again, as the DG has indicated, has resulted in a department that structure that looks like this, where the chief operations officer is retained, the branch chief operations officer is retained, we have a branch international tourism management, branch domestic tourism management, and the branch policy and knowledge services. And the DG, when they go through the plan, they will provide further details on the goals that they have identified during the 2012 stage in review of the departmental strategy. But we are focusing on achieving good corporate and cooperative governance. We are focusing on ensuring that tourism priorities are integrated within other sector departments that support tourism growth and development, provincial and local government planning. We want to improve the impact of tourism on the livelihood of South Africans. We want to improve research, tourism sector research knowledge, information and knowledge and management. We want to increase the contribution of the tourism sector to inclusive growth, and we want to improve levels of competitiveness and sustainability in the sector, and we want to strengthen regional and international collaboration and partnership. And during the review, review of the strategy, we identified certain risks that we thought may hinder the achievement of these goals that we have outlined, and just to select a few that have been broken down to grant. We thought that the issue of skills, particularly related to IT information technology, information and communication technology, forensic and performance auditing, if we let those deals, we may have a target delivering on the men, on the chosen strategy. We are conscious that if we were to contravene legislation and contractual obligations, we could hinder our own performance. We are conscious of possible risks of security of information, for instance, and we are conscious of non-compliance with certain legislation, in this case related to forest guiding. We are conscious that if we do not have enough data or information that supports our decisions, we may have a problem delivering on our strategy. We are conscious that if we did not have sufficient market insight, we might have a challenge delivering on our strategy. And part of our controls in that regard relates to the review of the departmental structure and the manner that we have designed the organization to deliver on that. And among other things, we are conscious that should we not align our strategy to other existing strategies across the three spheres of government, we would not get the prioritization that we need from other role players and other levels of government, spheres of government, to deliver on tourism growth and development.
So as far as
the limitation of the labor relations
act is concerned, and that leads us we need to be in compliance. The census, and this is capital and skilled workforce, the census often represents the representativity of designated groups. Our baseline is 54% women, 2.72% disability, people with disabilities, and 93% black representatives. That's presently the status. And what we are saying is maintain the minimum 50% women representativity, maintain the minimum of 4% disability rate. So we've improved from the department saying we need to have more people with disabilities representing our department than the norm, which is 2%. And maintain the minimum 89% black representation as part of the EAMD targets. Effective service delivery, potential implementation of information technology. We've got a master systems plan that guides implementation in line with the Department of Public Service Administration and CETA, and the implementation of phase two. We started as a new department to set up our system, and we will be moving into the second phase of that plan. Uptime of the network, the second baseline, sorry, I think we've missed out on the figure there, is 98% uptime. That is what we are maintaining at this stage. But what we said is we need to maintain 79% uptime and allow only 3% for service time to be off. This is when upgrades need to happen, and we would like to do that only over the weekend. Percentage implementation, then reach out to the certain stakeholders through targeted communication. This is a percentage implementation of a communication strategy. We developed a strategy, it's been approved. In that one, we've got specific deliverables per quarter that needs to be dealt with, whether that is branding, whether this is support to the minister, dealing with the external and internal stakeholders. All of that has been defined, and a clear target has been set to deliver on the communication strategy. Then effective internal audit services. This one is linked to our list that has been identified. So our audit plan that has already been submitted to the audit committee is in alignment with our list, so that we do internal auditing to make sure that there's compliance, but we've also got a 3-year strategic role plan of the long term to address risks and to deal with compliance issues. Then focused legal support. In all of this, we have developed manuals with clear deliverables and timelines in what we need to deal with it. So the first one is the measure against percentage compliance with case management requirements, whether it's been described by the legal processes or internal processes to say 100%. Percentage compliance with agreed service delivery standards. We've got a service delivery standard manual from legal services. So many days for you to deal with a contact, to give comments and those issues, so that we at the end of the day make sure the service delivery is in the process. Percentage compliance with legislative program of the department. This is a program that we annually submit to the leader of government of parliament, and for us to comply with that one. For the coming financial year, this will be the draft bill that will be, if Cabinet approves it in May, will be presented into the parliamentary process in the third quarter of this year. The Centre of Tourist Complaints refers to the appropriate authority. With the redesign of the department, we realized that part, which used to be part of the Grand Tourism Growth, has been redirected into the legal services component, redirected in the department, and they will be the link between complaints and the DPR, which is responsible for dealing with that in accordance with prescribed treatment. Percentage compliance with financial and supply chain, 100%, and then percentage of procurement compliance. In this case, Chair, Honourable Members, you recall that in December last year, I think it was the 7th of December, amended legislation was passed by DPI related to the BBBE, where levels have been brought in, and we've aligned our key performance indicator to talk to what the new Act requires from us. Chair, that's from CEO from the Auckland Air Lift.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Members.
We had a name change with a slight of scope increase, not necessarily change. We used to be called Policy Research Monitoring and Evaluation. It was very long. We are now Policy and Knowledge Services. The essence of what the previous branch was has been retained in this name. That's a big first thing. We now focus on policy, sector policy development, monitoring and evaluation, research, knowledge management, but we also will be focusing on promotion of transformation, as well as the implementation of responsible tourism. In the area, Honorable Chair, of monitoring and evaluation of sector performance, we conduct an annual state of tourism, which leads to a state of tourism report. We have completed one which was for 2010. We will be doing one which will cover 2011, 2012. We will also be looking specifically at sector-specific initiatives, and in this case we'll be looking at the Social Responsibility Initiative, which is the EPWP, but we'll also look at the HAR work in terms of what then happens in terms of the people that have won this and caught their work and so on. Of course, we are also responsible for the implementation of the National Tourism Sector Strategy in terms of providing secretariat for the coordination meetings in Europe. And in this case, we will then have an annual implementation report which will be independent, rather separate from the report of the department in terms of the annual report of the department. One of the things that we've been looking at is how to develop forecasting models that can help us to plan better towards certain levels of performance that would be required to reach certain goals, particularly as it relates to what we have targeted within the NTSS. In the previous year, we spent a lot of time and effort developing a model with National Treasury that looks at the job in terms of what kind of effort would be required to be able to get to the job that we are actually projecting within the NTSS. And we are then going to focus in future on the tourist arrival. We'll be doing this piece of work again with National Treasury Services in Africa and SA Tourism. Of course, there's an oversight responsibility that we support for the department in the finance work of the African Tourism Concept. But we also work together internally with the branch domestic tourism in support of the oversight on the tourism enterprise partnership implementation of the support of my business. We spent a lot of time last year developing a number of policy instruments, and going forward we will still be doing that because these are required as the NTSS. Some of the ones that we'll be dealing with next year is to develop a resilient strategy from an economic point of view for the sector. And there's a number of them that are actually within the NTSS that we'll be looking at. But one of the most important things that we want to do is we want to start a policy watch, which would enable the broader tourism community to be able to track what are the new policy development or strategic development, either by government or within the private sector, that would have an impact in one way or another. And that would be something that we want to receive on a quarterly basis. We worked on a pilot structure. The purpose of this is to
ensure that we are able to account for the resources that go into the implementation of the NTSS at all levels. So there is a budget structure for that would apply for the provincial level, where provinces will be able to budget according to that particular structure for tourism. This has now been agreed upon by the tourism stakeholders, and it is now with National Treasury, and Treasury, once it is approved, then they will be able to do that. It will enable us to say, in this particular cluster, or in this particular thematic area, we have been able to spend so much collectively towards this, and whether that needs to be reviewed or not, those kind of things will actually be here. We are looking at capacity development program for local government. The purpose of this, we want to be able to have uniform skills and capacity within the local government, such that we do not necessarily have people job hopping across municipalities, but still doing exactly the same thing because the next municipality does not necessarily have that requisite capacity. So we are looking at that particular program. We have an MOU with the Department of Home Affairs as it pertains specifically to tourism. And this is something that we'll be implementing, and we'll be working closely, obviously, with the colleagues that are responsible for tourism, the international tourism branch. We will also be looking at the annual state of edit in the country, the issues which are that BG was raising, to see where are the blockages, what are the new opportunities, and so on. We, these are normal coordination issues as it relates to the issues of intergovernmental coordination. So we normally provide coordination support for those engagements. But we have seen the need for an electronic interactive database for stakeholders, which will also allow us to be able to reach out to a much broader community in terms of getting input into other policies and other strategies and so on. So we are working on a tourism knowledge portal, of course also an electronic event calendar, which will give more information to the broader public out there. But lastly, we are also, this is also looking at those events that take place in the places where it's not likely known, but these are big events, but they're not likely known by people that do that, otherwise you're mentioning. We want to have two gateways for operationalized. This will be information centers at the point of entry in the country. So we're talking about having a presence in one base port of entry and one land-based port of entry. And this would like to see operationalized in this particular country. In the implementation of the storage management framework, there's a number of things that actually will be done. Amongst others, we're talking about auditing of our continuous audit of our storage services and product database. This work that has already commenced with Statistics Africa with regards to their business register. But we really want to make sure that what we've got in the database is authentic, everything says we can actually go and critically point at it and say it is actually in existence. And the characteristics that are there are exactly as they are described. We are also responsible for the professionalization of service guides. There is an existing strategy that it provides for a number of things that needs to be done. Amongst others is the issue about cross-border guiding. Can we have guides from South Africa guiding in Namibia or in Zimbabwe or in Malawi? Or can we have a reciprocal arrangement? We want to do a feasibility study to understand whether this is actually, to understand whether this is actually feasible, whether we can actually do that. And once we've got that, then we'll be able to actually approach the rational system. We want to work with law enforcement agencies in terms of the enforcement of the law as it pertains to trial guidance. The manner we want to do this, we want to go into an MOU with training authorities for the road traffic the offensive management authorities, so that the point of enforcement is what is actually given the necessary tools to do this. So ours will be to ensure that it's a module that talks to the whole issue of guiding that goes into that particular train, and they will then roll out that particular train. There is also an issue about awareness of the whole guiding concept when it comes to people that are actually coming into the country and also people in the country. But we actually want to create some reasonable level of presence in relevant media. It could either be in magazines that we find in the relevant transport that the people will be using coming here, that they will be able to see this is what you should identify if you want services in terms of guiding. These are the features that you should look out for. This is what it means to be a registered guide, and this is what it means to receive illegal guidance. We also want to have structured engagement with organized associations, so to say, of tourist guides. They have a currently some federation. But what we want to do is to agree properly on the rules of engagement. Do they have good code of practice? Do they have a constitution? Do they have annual general meetings and so on? The basic standard association related issues. So that when we say that we are actually engaging this group, we are engaging, we know that we are engaging everyone in totality. And of course, we have been automating the register. We have had an audit on it, and we have to continuously improve on the system itself. The new system, so obviously, there's a number of things that we need to bring to make it work better. In terms of research, we have five universities with whom we have got a cooperation agreement. And these universities, we allocate to them specific topics, but depending on their area of expertise. They have got different, totally different areas of expertise. They focus on tourism. They've got some form of tourism, either a faculty or a unit that is responsible directly for tourism. So we have got direct agreement with them. Functioned by the National Treasury in terms of how they should actually function and so on. And we allocate specific topics to those, and then they run with those alone. But internally, we've got capacity also to conduct some other research. Most of the research that we conduct is guided by what the NTSS actually does require for us to be able to do that. Among other things, within this particular area, we would also like to start a journal, and then one of those universities will be assisting with that in terms of coordination of the various pieces and so on. And also, we will be creating platforms where these papers can also be accessed and so on. One of the specific issues in as far as these MOUs are concerned, that DG requested this university specifically to look at is the whole area of creating capacity in the country. So they will also be looking at that. So in the process, some of this work will also be done by students. And some students that will also be sponsored to be able to study at a higher level to be able to produce some knowledge that we can make use of as well. The next area is the area pertaining to transcontinental implementation of the voluntary labor economic empowerment. And what we're looking at in this area, firstly, there is an online verification system that was administered by the DPR. Our role largely in this has been to go out and create more and more awareness for our industry to be able to actually make use of this and so on. But it's something that we really need to monitor closely to have this uptake, and if not, what other steps need to be taken. We want to look at the public sector spend on empowered tourism goods and services. We are recognizing that government has a tremendous amount of spending power, which also is instrumental in driving policy. And we would like to look at the extent to which we have actually done it. We are also going to look at the extent to which public-private partnerships or concessions, asset disposal, have led to empowerment. We are also going to have a state of transformation report, which is the normal report that then get produced in terms of generally what is the state of across the different perspectives. The Charter Council will also be constituted, and it will then be functional as well. As far as responsible tourism is concerned, the main area of focus is the implementation of the National Legal Standards for Responsible Tourism that was presented last time. But in this area, we also want to look at investigating the possibilities of incentives to promote implementation of responsible tourism across the sector. We're working with SANA, the accreditation, the accreditation. We would also like to ensure that the toolkit, which verifies this, and of course the businesses that can also use to look at whether they're actually ready to get certain accreditation. We want to look at the state of responsible tourism report, this is work that we're going to do with the Grading Council. Honorable members may be aware that the Grading Council does have elements that is looked at currently in terms of the grading of the grading of accommodation. And of course we would like at the end to be able to have a very good sense of where exactly are we as a country in terms of responsible tourism. The whole issue of community participation is largely been listed in the NCSC, and it's also a focus that we identified in terms of the BPS strategic plan. We are looking at the community capacity building initiative for sustainable tourism. If I was to give an example in this, it would be if one goes to a particular area, take Kalahari for instance. If you go to the Kalahari, you will find a group of people that know the area, understand it well, and so on. And they are trying to assist tourists, but they end up actually giving them information, and so on, which that amounts to guidance. Do we go there and get the police to arrest them, or do we get this group, let them know about what is possible, and then facilitate that they get the relevant training, and then so we will look at what really is practical within a particular context, and then resources allowing obviously then pursue what needs to be done.
The whole issue of
universal accessibility, we would like to look at what sort of incentives could promote compliance, but we also want to look at what form of framework can be there for in the Nepal accessible from a tourism point of view, city or town. And those are likely the things that we would like to talk about. I'll pass on to my colleague.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. As we mentioned, the new structure as a branch that will be focusing on international tourism management. And the purpose of this branch is to provide strategic, political and policy direction for the development of South African's tourism potential throughout various regions of the world. We will do this mainly through two objectives. The one being to provide international tourism market, and when we talk about market, we talk about countries and or regions linking to the countries mentioned of HAP, analysis to inform our strategic intervention. So our first indicator or the first piece of work that we will be doing is around understanding all the countries in the world. So we will develop country profiles for all the countries in the world to have an understanding of the potential of tourism in that country and the barriers where we can play football, where we can introduce strategic interventions. The second program that we will be doing is around regional profile. And as I said, the regions refer to the clusters. And we are saying that the region is a cluster of selected countries which we identified to have tourism potential. So we will work on these regions or these hubs and have a better understanding of which countries we can group together and approach them not as a separate country or a standalone country. Then thirdly, we are developing a concept around the toolkit. The aim of this concept document is to provide a toolkit or to develop a toolkit that will contain different tools where we can assist countries or regions in terms of specific interventions, which are more of a generic nature. Fourthly, we will then, based on all the information that we have gathered through our country profile, through understanding the regions or the hubs, through understanding the toolkits that we will need, we will then introduce strategic interventions to broaden the scope of tourism in all the regions of the world. Then we will also work with our missions abroad, as you mentioned, and we will support them to assist them to mainstream tourism in their missions. Currently, there is an objective in their business plan to promote tourism in their countries, and as a grant, we would like to support them in fulfilling this goal. Our second objective then pertains to the utilization of bilateral and multilateral engagements to advance the tourism national, regional, African, and global agenda. We have many international agreements that are already in place. We need to report on these, the implementation of these agreements. We need to see where strategically we must sign new agreements. So in this regard, we will have an annual report on our international agreements and the strategic national priorities that we consider cited. Then, when it comes to multilateral participation, we would like to have a more strategic approach in our participation in multilateral forums. So, and we would also like to broaden the scope of our participation in these forums. So our objective is then to develop a strategic plan for the participation in multilateral forums and also then to expand the number of multilateral forums which we support participation in in the last financial year, we participated in 5, and we want to expand that to 7 in the current financial year. Thank you, honorable members. That's an international group.
Thank you, Mukhara. I think let us stop here and help our team because of this raising the Okay, let us pray. Just keep for 10 minutes and then come back.
I'm banana sultan yang baru saling bangga masalah fokus di mana 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 fokus di mana
fokus di mana fokus di mana fokus di mana fokus di mana fokus di mana fokus di mana
Thank you. In terms of the basic problems, we are going to focus on the basic problems.
we have divided the provinces into two regions. We have the south and the north. The north region consists of five provinces, which are northwest, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KZN, as well as Gauteng. The south region consists of Northern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, as well as Free Cape. The two regions will be headed by two chief directors, chief directors. So the first thing that we need to do is to come up with what we call provincial profile, to have a better understanding of what really happening in these provinces. But as we go down, the support packages that we're going to come up with, they must be regionalized as a way of trying to, I don't want to use the word on force, but to make sure that the provinces integrate, they don't operate in silos. From the branch of Mr. Karate, he indicated that he has developed the domestic provincial strategy. We must start implementing that. And the first thing that is going to be done is to create awareness. And this will be done together with SHU. The other objective is to facilitate the implementation of national tourism imperatives, amongst which we have the expanded public works program. Currently, except the current financial year, we will be having 50 projects that we will be supporting in terms of infrastructure. Some of them are multi-year, but for the current financial year, the one that is added to the multi-year is 50. And the type of projects, I think we all know that is heritage related, the trail, walking trails, adventure, accommodation, hospital, just to name a few. Sorry, I'm not using the technology given.
Who is supposed to record and what they're going to do?
The other national program that we are supporting is to, on an annual basis, to come with the Tourism Career Expo. The past 3 years it was hosted by KZN. From this year, Tourism is being hosted by Eastern Cape. And basically, is to make sure that we have partnerships with the Department of Education in a way of trying to expose this tourism field to the learners as well as the educators. And CAPTIPA is one of the main players in this region. The other issue is the curriculum analysis and evaluation report. So you are saying in high school, teachers are teaching this subject, but this little understanding in terms of experience. We need to analyze the curriculum so that it responds appropriately to the sector. And analysis is also part of the committee that is assisting the analysis. We are going to hold seminar workshops as a way of capacitating the educators around the field in terms of poverty. And the third MOU that Mr. Karata referred to in terms of the university, they are also part in helping us to help with the capacity building in this instance. We have what we call tourism leadership dialogue. The past financial year we had four. Basically, it's a platform where I'll say the heads of business or the CEOs of companies participate in terms of us sharing ideas with them in order to improve the functioning of the sector. For this current financial year, we'll be holding six annual dialogues, two of which will be led by the minister. And then we are also going to focus more on service excellence requirements. A study was done in 2009 in preparation for 2010. And the findings there were saying that South Africans are people who don't want to complain when a service is not good. As being polite. And so citizens doesn't help our company. So there were recommendations coming out of the research study, which indicated that we need to do more research. We need to do training through our teachers to make sure that our frontline staff, the companies are able to give that excellent service to the customer. The non-service standards were also facilitated through SABS. And what we are going to focus on in this current financial year is to do public awareness for both the business as well as the general public so that they are able to give feedback to companies. On giving support to SMEs, we have a contract with the headquarters for the infrastructure company. The past year, 500 rural enterprises were supported. This year, 550 rural enterprises will be supported. And the research spread, only 8 provinces will be benefiting access housing. The number of enterprises supported to grow through mentorship will be having 50. We have added to the 25 refugees in the past 5 years. We'll help enterprises with market access. Especially where we have our hidden treasure, and the number is 170. This warrant is also indicating the outside year of 2014 is 0020 because the contract is ending in 2014. The number of members of the designated group, that is the resolution disadvantage, in subtitles to be supported, we are having the 3,361. And then 2,365 will be done in the last year of the contract. In terms of job creation coming from the FNME, we will be training the enterprises, 2,260 of them, food tech, and the number of projects that will be coming out of the whole exercise through the tech program is quite about those. Same with the following year. In terms of creating employment opportunities through the EPWP, for this current financial year, 5,564. And basically here, this is a program where jobs are created as well as poverty alleviation. We are also targeting the unemployed youth, women and people with disabilities. We also have programs for the youth, the CHESS program. The past financial year, 800 young people were enrolled in that program, and 531 graduated. I think the past rate actually is good, that's an impressive. We also have what is called Hospitality Youth Initiative. We have 300, and this current financial year it will be the same number.
Committed some.
Looking at the Testament of Daniel expenditure, which is in front of you, you will, which is just how the money is divided within the administration, you will see that 195 million is allocated to administration, 787 million to policy and knowledge and knowledge services. Just to say that that also includes our contribution to our public entity as a tourism, and then our international tourism, 46 million, which is 3%, and then domestic tourism, 337 million, which also includes our social responsibility implementation. That is why it is 25%. And that is our budget for the 2012-13 with a total of 1.3 billion rand. If you look at the breakdown on the economic classification, you can see that compensation of employees is 13%, goods and services 11%, and the majority of our budget is on transfers, taxes, which is 75%. Over the NTS period, you can see that our budget is increasing with 9.36% to 2013-14 and then to 2014-15 to 5.67%. Looking at the individual programs, if you look at administration, you will see that the majority of the administration budget is for corporate affairs, 59%. if you look at the next slide on the breakdown of the compensation budget, then you will see that 50% of the budget is compensation of employees, and goods and services 48% of that budget. Over the NPF, it also increases from 5.96%, and then in the outer year with 5.86%. quality and knowledge services. The majority of that budget is the transfer payment to the ecotourism, which is 753 million, 96% of the budget. that's also reflected in the transfer payment in subsidies, and you will see that the compensation of employees is 3%, it's 21 million, and contribution is 12 million. The increase over the NPS, you can see 9.31% and then 5.41% in the RPM. International tourism management, there you can see all the new breakdown of this budget in the Asian and Caribbean, Europe, Africa, and Middle East, and Asia, Eastern Asia. And you can see the contribution is more or less the same for the different regions, 25%, 20%, 27%, 20%. The economic classification, compensation of employees, 55%, and in goods and services, 32%. It also has got the transfer payment, 5.2, and that is for COSA and the UNWTO. Just to say that the COSA stands for the Regional Tourism Organization of South Africa, Southern Africa, and then UNWTO, the United Nations World Tourism Organization. International tourism over the NTS increased to 4.19% and then 5.85%. Then domestic tourism. That is the last presentation from our DVD before. There you can see the breakdown between the southern region and northern region, and then the social responsibility implementation, which received 82% of the total budget, and then also the parking tourism, which are tourism enterprise programs, which received 25 million. looking at the economical classification, comprehension of employees, which is 11%, 35 million, and producer 29 million, 9%. And the classes for our social responsibility project, 270 million, 80% of our social value. Over the NTS, it increases for 12.16% and 26.12% in 14%. Thank you, please, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. The presentation would seem long, but we really managed it quite well. Over to you, please.
Sure, thank you very much. I think that was a presentation. There are two issues that were raised here that I thought maybe I need to provide more clarity. Victor spoke about the agreement that we are having with universities. We have this agreement with the University of Pretoria, the University of Johannesburg, the University of Venda, and the University of You will see we've taken both the rural and the urban-based universities. Now, we've entered into agreements with them and that they will start to provide training, because we realize in the long term there will be research work that we're going to need. It's going to compel us to do long-term planning. So we can have a discussion with these universities that students who are doing the postgraduate will do research on areas that we need as a department. But at the same time, we're developing capacity, but at the same time, we're getting research. So the product of that research would come back to us and it would assist us to implement some of the projects. That is one. The second thing is that we're developing intellectual capability within the tourism sector. Because as it is, you find a very few people who are taking qualification, even up to doctorate level, in the tourism sector. Now, for the long-term survival of this and proper planning, you're going to need a lot of intellectual capability. So we can't complain a few years later that we don't have people that are trained, and as government, we've never done anything to try to encourage and train people in this respect. And we have that agreement with the universities, but they would choose the brightest minds within this university. We're not going to choose students. They would do that. But we'll do funding for them to train. We may as well not get some of the students who are training coming back into government or increasing them into the circle of government. But the good thing is that we will know that in the industry, we have people who are better qualified, even in the private sector, to do with things that we're very comfortable about. So that will help to capacitate the sector. That is one long-term project. Now, the benefits of this, honorable member, is not going to be tomorrow. It's a long-term arrangement in terms of developing this capacity. The other thing that Anani Malan and Murunga spoke about is to develop this program. Murunga was saying we develop provincial programs. When we were doing analysis and assessment of what we need to do, we actually realized that no one in all the province, no one would tell us exactly what is the impact of tourism or the contribution of tourism in a particular province. Not only at the national level, even at the provincial level, people are dealing with that. They can't tell you how much is tourism contributes in their systems in that area. And be able to define where is this contribution coming and break it down in percentages and say, maybe in accommodation, car rentals, this is the amount of money that is coming. Now, if we're able to do that analysis and have that information, it becomes very difficult to measure the impact of tourism in a particular area. So we are thinking that what we need to do is to do that research now. Develop that research, get a better understanding in this province. And then we're looking at basically tourism specific. It will also assist us that exercise to understand in every province what is the pressure point of tourism, what is the critical point that we need to harness and keep on capacitating so that we don't lose at competitive advantage. We'll do the same with the international, as Anani spoke about. We are going to develop this profile. We need to understand the world in which we are competing. If we don't understand, as I indicated earlier, a government in Germany allocates so much towards tourism, the Germans spend so much towards tourism, and where is this money being spent? And what is really influencing them to go to certain areas? We need to start understanding this economy. That's why we are saying we're going to look at tourists as commodities. As they move around, these are commodities that all of us are competing for them. So we need to develop that competitive capability within us as department. But for us to do that, we need to get a better understanding of every country and why this particular country, why should we focus there? Not working on numbers and say we're getting 20 tourists only, or 20,000 tourists that we need to do something. But why do we get that? So this analysis will be ongoing, update, we'll look at budget structures of different governments. And in the Obama administration now, they've appointed a tourism guru. They've never had anyone dealing with tourism. They're starting to realize the potential. They have appointed a tourism guru operating from the White House. Now, what are the changes? What are the dynamics? How much is the American going to put? Now, you bring a huge competitor with a lot of financial resources into the market. They're going to compete with all small of us. Small countries are going to be marketing a lot. How are we going to compete with that? We need to get a better understanding, do better analysis. So that's what we're going to do at this level. Thank you, Chair. I thought I should just explain the two things.
Thank you very much, DJ. First, before we get into questions, I do not know whether we can just briefly explain on some of the issues. Yeah, like, have we done something about the process of the AEC and this was a week and what we can do? And then secondly, this new institution that we started, we launched last year, which is the Council of Conference, what is it called?
Euro-Bank Convention.
What's the progress in this getting on its feet? And what is happening there, but this is part of the NCFS. And then the issue of home affairs and the memorandum of understanding. If you could just unpack this, what is the list around the other countries and so on. And then the issue of universities and working with universities. The Department of Science and Technology said that they have a PhD program for where they define graduates to do postgraduate studies funded by government. And I thought, are you working together with that program? The other area, there is talk, I don't know whether it is substantiated or whether it is correct or not correct, that the Parliament is using illegal foreign sites. Is it true, and that is true? What are the details? If not true, the substantiated is not true. And the other area, the issue of the graded establishment, and it's used by government departments. He said that people create their establishment so that government can use their establishment. Are we monitoring this? And then, so what are the results? And then, are we providing capacity to manage this and assist departments to comply? I don't want to pay them for it, but because we do not have the money, but at least to convince the police that the department to try and comply. Then there is the issue of an international agreement. South Africa has got a memorandum of understanding and a certain status with the Chinese government. I don't remember the technical political term. This comprehensive whatever it is. But we have a memorandum of understanding with the Chinese. And they told us that they had in their 5-year plan, they foresee 80 million Chinese tourists moving out. And we were looking at that, trying to look at 1% of something as part of the cannot see the Chinese or the Greek aspect of the understanding. Are we having plans and then what are the plans? Then we from the issue of service excellence and frontline staff. There have been issues raised about people from other countries being frontline staff in a lot of hotels and a lot of restaurants. I don't know whether we are foreign or originally part of the memorandum of understanding with the Department of Home Affairs, what is the case in that sense. I think there we need that input from the Department to clarify something so that we can be in a position to answer what we can do.
Chair, thank you very much. Some of my colleagues would come in on some of those questions. But let me deal with the one relating to the energy's concern during the last financial year. And those issues, they're not going to come back during the financial year. They were very minor issues that the AG identified, even though there's been an improvement in that. It related to the manner in which we capture our leave. That was one of the issues. The other one was related to the manner in which certain procurement were processed. There were very small amounts. We operated outside that system. I think those were about issues that were identified, very small issues. What we have done, we factored them into our management meeting. And we've received feedback from managers where the shortcomings were to register them properly. And those issues have been addressed. I don't think there will be any other issues during the course of the financial year. Now, the Convention Bureau has been established and there's been somebody appointed in operating SAT. We said to them we expect to see the strategy of that Convention Bureau, not only to see the personnel, and I think they have developed a strategy for this financial year. It will be operationalized during the course of this financial year. So that has been attended to. Now, last year when we had an interaction with the ILO, they indicated to us that in South Africa, 30% of people who work in the hotel industry are foreigners. And that's a research done by the ILO, and they've done this research during 2010 World Cup. And they are saying it's a common trend that you find in most countries. And I think it's also an indictment on us, because most of the people who work in this hotel are cleaners. Coming from a foreign country, you realize some of the men are even better qualified. South Africans, are we taking advantage of this job? It's a trend, the ILO said, that you find across the world. And it's true, if you go to Europe, you find a lot of people working in hotels, they're not locals. Now, I'm saying it's an indictment on our part to encourage people to apply for this job. Now, people may not find it, I'm not sure what is the cause, they may not find this job appealing to work as a cleaner in the hotels and so on. So that's where the challenge is. And that's why you find, even in the domestic workers, the Department of Labor has made a determination that there's a large number of foreigners who come into the country to work as domestic workers. And yet, South Africans are not taking advantage of that. I don't know. That's one issue. The PhD project that you are referring to, I don't know. The DST, they may be focusing on their own capacity as a department. The Minister of Higher Education, during Cabinet of Kota in 2010, in July, indicated that departments must have their own direct engagement with universities to identify the gaps that exist within them. To channel them through a single department, he said it would be virtually impossible. So that's what we're doing. We're looking at our interest in terms of tourism, and this training must be related to tourism, and that's why we want to fund this kind of training. I think other issues, graded establishments, agreements with Chinese and so on, people would come in. But let me deal with the last one, the one related to our MOU with Home Affairs. We've agreed on a framework, and this stems from the State of the Nation address by the President 2 years ago. that the question of the visa impediment in terms of our tourism as identified and came out in the State of the Nation address. And we thought that it would be very useful to have some level of agreement with home affairs and businesses. Bearing in mind and taking into account the national security concerns that the home affairs is dealing with, but to try to balance that with our economic interests and see whether there's a real credible threat to national security interests. That's why, in terms of this MOU, it has been signed by myself and the DG of Home Affairs, and we have one of our DDG, Victor, who runs this implementation with his counterparts on the other side to deal with the challenges that are raised. It's a new concept that is coming up. It would have some teasing arrangements, I think, between the two of us, but we want to be sensitive to national security concerns, but we want to bring the economic benefit that tourism brings and be able to weigh these issues. I think my other colleagues will come in on other issues. That's a big deal. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to direct on the IT report, I think the DG is correctly stated that I think things are quite fine. We've received our first management report, which looks quite good at this stage. I think the only issue that the AG has picked up is some of the implementation issues of social responsibility projects on down level. And that's the next level that we are dealing with in the department. Perhaps just say on the issue around creating a challenge establishment, and I think we're almost then also coming. The DG has discussions with National Treasury because there was a challenge decision taken to say government departments and national and provincial departments, all tiers of government should only use great establishments. That was the cabinet decision. But, and that was presented by the Department of Environment and Tourism at that stage. But the policing part of that should become part of the procurement process. And therefore, the discussions were taken by the national, between the DG and the DG. From National Treasury. The agreement was reached that they were sort of put out in a government framework of how this is the first thing. Then to take it further, the next step is that the Auditor General will have to start auditing the department. Because we as a department cannot fulfill that sort of role. But in the department, and I think we're all going to identify, we've also identified that we need to look at how we as a department are support also the SME. So as far as that concerns, I think you can just indicate what we are doing to deal with that issue.
We haven't suffered that. The very establishment that's on the day-to-day is we are giving support in terms of financial training and all those kinds of things. So we have put proposals on the thing to say as a department, we need to start supporting the establishment better assisting to our budget so that we are able to say to other departments, this is the support. So it's something that we still have to work.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The question about illegal guys operating within the parliamentary, I would propose through the DG that we should probably then get more information on that. At the moment, we are not aware. We did see one guy just as we were coming in. He actually had all the necessary requirements. But I'm also facing one of the chairs currently with the visitor for private guys. So I would have interest in seeing the correct procedures and all that.
Thank you, Chair. On the Chinese agreement, We had an engagement meeting with a client ambassador earlier this year in discussing the kind of cooperation that you are referring to, understanding the needs of the students from China, as well as the ambassador also gave us the opportunity of training tour guides in the language. Our assessment is that we have more than 100 Chinese-speaking guides in South Africa, but that some of the guides need to be retrained. So there's continuous engagement with the Chinese ambassador regarding the issue of training of tour guides in the language, and also understanding the specific needs of the Chinese tourists. In addition to that, we're in very close cooperation with the newly established unit in DERCO. They have a newly established unit focusing on BRICS, so we are working closely with them, and with our African Tourism Office in the team. Thank you.
and departments as well. It's crucial to the success of this department, and I think particularly of, you know, the monitoring of those processes. We have an oversight role, and if we can oversight this department at a small budget, we need to go beyond that and to see that in fact the other departments are playing their ground, which brings to question the other aspects of how one would be able to determine what the other spheres of government are using in a coordinated fashion, in terms of monies and advertising and marketing and branding, which goes on continuously where I come from in the Eastern Cape in the press. And I just often wonder whether there's not duplication there. But I think with the new structure now, as I see it, I think there's going to be a lot more coordination, and I hope so. Just to bring up the issue which was raised also by the chair relating to some of the tourist operators and the couriers in particular, I'm aware that there's still a lot of outstanding work to be done on a bill that was passed by the Department of Transport in relation to those courier operators and their licensing of their vehicles in particular. Now, there was a subcommittee set up to deal with that between tourism and transport, and I was on that committee, and I know that it's still outstanding. This was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. You know, there's nothing worse than a tourist operator taking people from Johannesburg to Mpumalanga and getting stopped. Everybody has to get out of the vehicle, and they sit there for 24 hours. And really, this is something that is unnecessary, because those words go back and cause another negative impact in terms of what you do. So I'd appeal for the department also to contact their counterparts in transport and try and see if they can get that thing buttoned up very quickly, because I have a lot of calls relating to that. On the domestic side, I was very keen to see the progress being made there and the situation of that. You know, a lot of the air travel cost in the country is sometimes, you know, pretty expensive for families, average families. And then to top it all off, they're going to hotels and they seem to be overpriced. Now, I'm just wondering what the department's doing. I mean, we don't want to end up with two-tier types of tourist rates, you know, one for international tourists and one for domestic, which happens in many countries in Africa, mind you, and overseas. But the bottom line is this, that, you know, there are many, many people here that are all riding on the sort of back of the 2010 World Cup initiatives where the prices of hotels and everything just went out of the roof and they haven't come down. And you go to the waterfront here in Cape Town and you buy food at dollar rated and pound rated food, you know, when in fact it could be bought a lot less in other little restaurants in the town. So I think we need to see how we can try and get that sort of thing sorted out from a domestic perspective. The other issue on the research and development, I'm very glad to hear the universities have got some linkage between us and the capacity and our capacity building program. But I think again, it's useful to see memorandums of understanding that link that to, in fact, accessing those particular graduates when they come out to enhance our capacity. The thing that concerns me, which I picked up in the budget, is the high cost that you use for consultants. Now, you know, in the Eastern Cape where I come from, I look at the wage and salary bill, and I look at consultants bill, and I say, hang on a minute, are you actually running a payroll civil service here? Sorry, I've had my 2 minutes there. But basically what I'm saying is this, that you know, you can't afford to have that circumstance where you're spending a lot of money on consultants, and this should be in-house research, which is clearly identifying the needs of what we're trying to get to. Because if you don't have the research, you don't know how to deal with it. And I talk particularly about, you know, why tourists come to this country. I went to the airport on Sunday from having returned from Australia, and there was no form to fill in. Whereas the country I've left, you had to fill in the form to say, why are you here? Are you there as a visitor? Are you going to see your family? Are you going to an international conference? And if we had that data at some sort of point of entry, we'd be able to surely use that to channel the particular funding into the right area. And I think that maybe we need to look at that one. As far as the country is concerned on the international tourism, there was an international report that was spoken about, which obviously we need to see. Is it something that one can table? Or you talked about an annual report on international collaboration, I think you mentioned. I'd like to see that. It'd be very interesting to see whether which countries have been identified and what agreements do exist between them. And finally, on the domestic side, the rural enterprises, those 530 odd targeted areas. I just wanted to know, do you do sustainability sort of type projects, evaluation with them prior to being able to support them, so that you don't end up with something started and then a year later they're filled out? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. who are the participants of the people in the foreign domain. So I think that coordinated kind of work is something that we appreciate and we hope that the experience can be able to achieve the result of this.
Thank you.
say the product plan, but we also look at really the standard of the product plan and really make it a real profession and make it attractive, really attractive. So that these young people are talking about the youth who don't have jobs and so on and so forth can still something in taking out.
Yeah.
Okay. This is something I think I'm a bit confused with the international policy and the rest of the going to be done.
Don't worry, I also confused. Don't worry, I also confused.
Yeah. If you're talking about profile, I wanted to find out what about the work that has been done by the Karabakh Council over the years? Shouldn't that be the baseline from which we are going to work? If not, there's no connection between what the SAC has done over the years and what the department is intended to make from now forward.
Employees, they normally have many employees to them. A graduate or
people that are qualified in that domain. So now, if we have qualified people and we also have consultants in business, really it is very difficult to explore, to understand. And as fellow taxpayers, we feel it as well. We believe that money is not going where it ought to go. I mean, so if we could explain that so that the public and ourselves do understand really that there is a need for consultants in a specific project that ends on a certain day because we could not be foreseen and they are not there. On an ongoing basis. I think that one, we all have a collective responsibility to explain. And then there is another area the issue of on from the COO of the vacancy rate of 9%. With the target of 5% taking it down to 5%. Unless it is absolutely necessary to have the 5%, I think it has to be at 0%. But perhaps there could be good reasons why it should be 5%. Our level of unemployment is just too high. And this we observe from also Department of Trade and Industry. And then if you look at the number of annual reports, these vacancy rates are unacceptably high, given the rising unemployment rate. We've got state spending in the country. But also, just to thank our members, because we are not going to pass a second round, but you are showing that you are not doing oversight as an end in itself. But for purposes of better government of our country, I think let us all appreciate that from our members. Mama, what
does it mean?
Thank you very much. Let me start by really clarifying the question of the greatest establishment that we had an issue with the treasurer. In the treasurer procurement and requirements now, that for instance, in view place and all that, you have to ask the service provider to give you the tax certificate to ensure that they pay that as a part of the requirement. So we thought we could do the same, that particular establishment would produce the greatest certification before they are given to the law. That's why we had this discussion with the president. So they would like this to be enforced because kindness is taking an admission of this matter. We thought that was the easier way, and we brought in people from the grading council to have this discussion. The discussion has begun to try to see how we're going to enforce it. So there is that discussion going on between the treasurer, the national treasurer, and the grading council. My colleagues would come up on some of the issues. Let me explain some of the things that are not written here that you don't see. And I've said to the management team here that when the time comes for evaluation, at this level of management, we're not going to evaluate them on the basis of what is written in their business plan. It's over and above that. What have they done to try to strengthen the institutional capacity? Because at this level, you can't say I've done what I was important to only. That's not enough. But I want to indicate some of the things that are going on behind closed doors. Sometimes ago, we got a tip off, ironically, from IATA, that OR Tambo will be shut down in the next few days if we don't deal with the question of the jet fuel shortages. A lot of airlines will complain. When we tried to establish that, indeed, that was the case. the level of jet fuel in Ohad Tambo was below the requirement. But it's not our mandate. It was sometime in November, and we thought it this time before the WSSD conference here, we were going to enter into serious problems in the reputation of the country. We convened a meeting together with the DG of Transport. I think when we phoned him, he was here. We convened a meeting the same evening. He had to leave. He said indeed there's a problem, but he didn't understand it at that level. But when we checked, at any given moment, we have had 5 million liters of jet fuel at Ohad Tambo, which is a 5-day jet fuel, and it was running at 1 million. That is below what was expected. So when we convened a meeting, there were a lot of suggestions by a lot of people that no, and maybe what they need to do is to encourage airlines to start fueling somewhere before they come in. There was no shortage of jet fuel in the country. And then we realized, actually, we were talking for ourselves. We then convened a meeting the following day with CEOs of the oil companies here in the country. And we identified where the problem is. Actually, the culprit, we had to tell the culprit that we need jet fuel by tomorrow, or else we're going to take action. What's going on? Different oil companies have arrangements with different airlines. But this jet fuel comes into a central deposit. So airlines will keep on drawing the jet fuel. So if you don't contribute your share into this 5 million liters, you make other people's lines a problem, and this was the case in terms of one company. So we had to actually tell the CEO that actually this is the economy double. If you don't address that, we'll be compelled to take action. All the role players were there, Department of Energy was there, ASA, everybody. And some of the challenges related to that, Transnet was there in terms of the movement of jet fuel from KZN to inland. But we were able to deal with the situation and really manage the situation. Within 2 days, it has picked up. ASA was compelled to issue out a statement, you know, reassuring airlines that this message has been attended. Because the perception would have been really detrimental to us, even if we shut down the airport. I mean, can you imagine the message goes out that Ohad Tambo is shut down because of lack of jet fuel? Now, I'm bringing this to indicate the level of cooperation that we get from other departments to deal with problems that are coming up. And I think that waiting arrangement, the Department of Transport, not only in this respect, even in terms of the development of the early strategy, a similar arrangement exists between us and the Home Affairs. If there's a challenge, I would call the DG of Home Affairs to intervene, and they have intervened on many instances. But there are things that are going through the cracks that no one sees. But this is similarly a problem with directing police. I mean, the level of cooperation that we get, I must confess, is incredible. The whole generals from the directing police services who come to our office to deal with the issue at points that we need to resolve. So the level of cooperation is there. I don't think it will go beyond this, I must say, because it's really incredible the way we work with them, because some of them is a line function. I mean, the police have no right to give us certain reports and tell us what's going on. They can tell us this is an investigation is required. Similarly, the level of cooperation with intelligence is quite great. When there's a challenge, we have a discussion with the head of intelligence there. Is this your reading of the situation in terms of this particular country? And they will share that with us. So there's a great deal of cooperation at my level and at my team's level to deal with some of the challenges that are there. That's why you don't see them written. But each time they come so far, we've received good cooperation. I really don't remember a situation where a particular department will say, this is none of your business. They all have a discussion with us to resolve the problem. Manager, in terms of the provinces, what you are saying, here we discuss in the broader strategy in terms of the domestic policy. Later on, you're going to see a business plan developed by a particular chief directorate. Not necessarily, for instance, take people dealing with the Western Cape and Eastern Cape and so on. They're going to be developing specifics of that provinces, what kind of support needs to be done. So that will come in the details of the business plan. What is the chief directorate going to do? What are issues they're identifying? And we started that process. They are engaging with HODs in the province to see where we are identifying a problem and how to assist them to work with them on this issue. So some of those issues will be contained much more in detail in the strategic plan. Now, let me deal with the question of consultants. No, in the department, they should be very strict about consultants. If you look at what we are having, we've gone down in terms of consultants. Actually, I don't remember us approving any consultants now. It must be one or, in a very rare instance, let me indicate, let me qualify this. We are building this EPWP project, and we realize it's our responsibility during the building phase. And we've visited a number of them, we've identified question of compliance and security requirements. Because we don't understand engineering and building, we rely on the service provider. If that building is to collapse and people get injured, we'll be sued, because it's still our property. If it's to collapse later on, we'll be sued, because it was not built in specification. So what we are saying, we can't employ an engineer to do this in the department. We are saying we need to get consultants who go and ensure this quality assurance. People come to us and say, this is the standard of this building. I mean, from my naked eyes, I can't tell you they've complied. But if you have people who are specialized in companies that are, they'll go and certify this and ensure that we are not taking for the right. We are taking for the right in certain instances. True, there's one which is now supposed to be occupied EPWP project, which was built some time ago. And that university is saying, no, they're not going to occupy this place, they're not going to work, it must be demolished completely because it does not meet requirements. So we want to try to avoid that. And we are in a discussion, we have consultants to do that. We haven't even employed them, we're still working out in terms of the details, the terms of reference, what is that they need to do. So we're very strict on consultants, and that's why we develop the internal capacity. The research that is going on in the department that Victor and his team are doing, they have the capacity. We've set up an advisory committee consisting of researchers from around the university who are actually appointed by the minister. They critique any research that we do. Now, they help in terms of improving the quality of research that we do. But they're an advisory committee. They'll look at our research work and they will critique that and provide assistance. So, it's something that works in terms of ensuring that our research is scientific, it can withstand any test of time. So this is what we're doing. The vacancy is a huge problem because it's a very vicious cycle. The requirement in terms of the public service is 12%. Because as you advertise, people internally sometimes they apply and they qualify. So you find you take a certain number of people who qualify, but mind you, you end up with the same net loss. At the end of the day, those who occupy there, they create a vacancy. You must then advertise. For advertising, you must take 60 for this advertisement. And after that, you must then start the interview and all process. You're going to end up always with this kind of space. And we are saying, even though the requirement is 12%, we've gone down to 9% and we say we can manage even 5%. Because it's streamlining our system. It will cater for this turnaround that people who have been occupying a lower post, they move up because they understand the organization. If they have any interview, a panel of interviews, you find that they have a lot of advantages. But you must open up space to get people from outside so that we don't end up with inward breeding and we don't get people with new ideas. But people internally, they always have a huge advantage because they understand the institution better than anyone else. So if you come to interview, they perform very well. So that's where you're going to find this challenge. Not only in our department, it exists across government departments. That's why they understand is that you must stay at 12%. But because we're a small department, and we have 400 and some people, we think we can manage that better. And we are ready to put down these numbers. I don't know, my other colleagues can come up on other issues that have been raised. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Let me just give you about 3 minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The issues pertaining to pricing, affordability, so the domestic services are accent to address it. And we do recognize that it's also information has been updated, it's also information that is not trickled down to the consumer. If we look at the
the grading and it starts from one star. And the title across this are completed. There are also other schemes that are available but that are not completely known outside. Last week I came across a scheme when people actually buy about 429, they go to 3 to 4 star hotels for them. But the condition is that they must actually have kids to break fast or dinner, and that's what you're going to get. So there's a couple of available possibilities and so on, but the question is, does it reach the people who they know about it? And that is where we actually need to come in and say, these are the things. But of course, there are certain areas where the art of the thing is the level of time. The other issue is with regards to awareness. The issue of awareness when it comes to individualization of rights is part of the strategy. We'll do it to both the consumer so that they are aware of what they are required to what they must seek when they go to consume. But we'll also do it for areas largely around specific products where there's guiding activities that they can so that people can just see the opportunity.
There's still a few of them. Yeah, if we can, if there are two more questions that have been answered.
Because if we cannot do otherwise, we just have to have the responses invited. But let us see 1 minute.
Okay. I want to start from two questions. The one is around the agreement. We have a database of agreements that we have formed for our voice. What we want to do is we want to put a concerted effort into servicing these agreements and strategically advance our agenda through these agreements and also informing the new ones that we need to sign and the nature of they are. Just quickly on the profile, African tourism does it very we want to be more broader than what they are doing. They do it once every 3 years when they do the segmentation. They only focus on some aspects. They only use one source. So we want to understand the countries in more depth than what they are doing, and we want to keep that profile updated, not only every 3 years. So what we know will serve as an input to the work that they do. So there is a link. There's not a duplication.
The last one, Manjore, the universities are universities of Zululand, University of Pretoria, University of Venda, University of Johannesburg, the Cape Peninsula University of Technology. These are the 5 universities that we have signed agreements with. I'll give you a copy of it. Yeah. Thank you.
On the first problem, we have 800 candidates spread all over. And they are being trained not only on the previous countries, but they are also found in the country. We had 93 dropouts due to death, loss of interest, other self-interest, and others found a permanent employment. And so you see that Mpumalanga is the best in terms of
I'm going to put it down. I'm going to put it down. Yeah.